you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here, hello, we're here at The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly...
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks!
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Celebrating her 9th anniversary as the Ghost Host, it's Sophia Temporelli right here on LiveParanormal.com.
The Ghost Host.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We're hands down, this is the world's most unique paranormal broadcast. Starting at 12 years old, the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli first went live on air. So congratulations, Sophia, on over 9 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. Thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of LiveParanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators throughout the years. Thank you guys so much for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed, and for all your support over the years. And also to our audience as well. Thank you guys for all your support. Feel free to jump into LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family as well. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. And as well, I hope everyone's keeping safe out there today. We welcome Travel Channel's Ghost Loop, paranormal investigator, empath, and YouTube TikTok sensation, Chris Starr. Everyone visit on Twitter and TikTok at It's Chris Starr. That's at It's Chris Starr, and YouTube search Chris Starr too as well for videos. This we have to announce too as well. Just found out yesterday we have Travel Channel's Kindred Spirits cast, Amy Bruni, Adam Berry, and Chip Coffey will be on this program on January 2nd, which happens to be the launch date of the new season of Kindred Spirits on Travel Channel. So that'll be January 2nd. Also, pretty effing spooky YouTube and TikTok sensation Amanda Paulson. She'll be discussing ghosts with the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on the 9th of January, rounding off the first part of 2021 coming up. Also, intuitive medium researcher, pet spirit grieving author Rob Gutro returns to the program on January 30th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. So like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. Also like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal team investigative panel roundups on the weekends. And also to check out the membership packages here on LP. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of great paranormal books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, all autographed. He's great at rewarding everyone here. Also support the vendors for Christmas around here on liveparanormal.com. Tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffey of Annie's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and also too, again, he's going to be on here January 2nd on the Ghost Host Show, promoting Kindred Spirits. That's Chip Coffey right here on this very network every month. Also, as too, as well, Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigatti, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com. And so any links, anything, if you get bumped out of the chat room, you can go back and toggle with the archive show. Let's bring in the host, the ghost host here, Sophia. It's a little slow in the muting. There we go. We have you unmuted there. Congratulations. Nine years of broadcasting, Sophia. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 9 years.
I know. You're doing a great job. You're helping a lot of people. But you got these, Twitters and all these different things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with 1L and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, we cursed you with a long name. So only 1L.
Yeah, you really did.
Well, mine's longer than yours. So I got all the middle names all thrown in there with mine. But so tell us about
Yeah, you have like today, two so first names too.
Yeah,
today,
yeah.
We welcome Travel Channel's Ghost Loop paranormal investigator, empath, YouTuber, and TikToker, Chris Starr. Everyone visit Twitter, TikTok, at It's Chris Starr, YouTube search Chris Starr. Let's welcome her into the show.
Okay, again, a little slow on the unmuting here. It's happened. Okay, Chris, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on today. It was great meeting you at the Queen Mary.
Yeah, it was awesome meeting you, too. I met so many awesome people that weekend. That was so cool getting to do that event.
Absolutely. Well, to start off, I was in a different group than you that night. Can you tell us a little bit about what you experienced in B340 and what it was like for you seeing the Queen Mary basically empty like it was?
So being on the Queen Mary without other people is definitely a totally different vibe than when you get a room and you're staying with hundreds of other people on the ship. But when we went, said we had a totally different group. My group got to go to B340, which I was so happy to be there. We did the Estes method first, and we all took a turn doing that. And while using the Estes method, I had a really crazy experience. So for people that are not familiar with that, it's pretty much when you block off all of your senses and the group that you're with will control the spirit box and ask questions. And then you kind of just respond based on what you're hearing through the spirit box, but you have muted headphones in and you can't hear, you're blindfolded. So as soon as they started asking questions, in my head, I was telling whatever spirits were in the room, if they could, I was asking them if they could light up just anything in front of us. We had the little cat balls, and then we had the EMS meter.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I asked in my head, hey, you know, if there's someone here, can you make that light off, light up? They told me that the EMF meters were going off. So it's like they didn't even know I was asked. So that was really crazy. And then something got like on top of the bed next to me, which really startled me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of everybody saw that on the live stream. So those were like two of the crazier experiences in that room that night.
Wow. Yeah, it's such an amazing ship. Was that your first time doing the Estes method?
So I've done it a few times before. Mm-hmm. And every time I do it, I'm very surprised at the responses that I get. Highly recommend for anybody that is interested in a different form of spirit communication. It's really fun, and it's probably one of the most accurate.
Yeah, it was my first time trying it. It's really weird to, you know, have all your senses shut off like that, but it's pretty cool the way it works and just, you know, seeing what you get with it.
Yeah, so there was another time as well where they had asked a question. I forget specifically what it was, and I repeated it verbatim. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't hear it at all. I was just hearing that come through the spirit box. So pretty much the spirit in the room, whoever we were communicating with, was kind of mimicking them or asking the same exact question.
Yeah, like, you know, they're dead, but they're like, hey, if you're going to ask me, I'll ask you too then.
Yeah, I feel like that's what was happening, because I had a lot of questions come mm-hmm. through. Like, they were really curious, like, what are we doing here? You know, obviously we were all wearing a mask. So Aiden brought up a really good point, which a lot of people probably don't realize, but they're not used to seeing us like that. So we probably startled them. They're used to seeing a lot of people and not in masks. So they're probably like, what the heck is going on? Like, is everybody sick? Because remember, back in that day, there were pandemics that did happen. So they're not strange masks, but I'm just curious, like, what was going on, like, with them? Like, what did they think was happening?
For sure. And, you know, besides the dark zone, I know you do so much in the paranormal, but what initially got you started in the paranormal field, and what was kind of the earliest experience you had?
So I've been into the paranormal since I was a child, and I was really lucky because my aunt is sensitive to the spirit world, so she allowed me to embrace it, whereas a lot of parents, when their children are seeing or hearing ghosts, they tell them it's not real. They don't want them to mm-hmm. believe the thing. But I'm really grateful because my aunt allowed me to embrace that. Also, my uncle is a paranormal investigator. They're not married. This is one of my other aunt's husbands, so not through blood, but he is a paranormal investigator. And he just kind of passed down a bunch of his equipment to me, and I was messing around with it. I've always been, like, really obsessed with the unknown, and I would find myself venturing out to abandoned houses, haunted, whatever I can find, pretty much, and really, really young, like 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's cool it kind of ran in the family for you. I started in the paranormal with my parents, like, at the same time. So it's nice when you kind of can grow up with it rather than, you know, kind of having to figure it out on your own as you're older.
Exactly. There's a lot of people that ask me for guidance because for so many years they've had to hide that part of themselves. And that makes me really sad that people grew up having these abilities or these experiences and they can never talk about them with anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard, especially when people live in haunted houses too and just don't know what to do. I know that you actually worked on a show kind of surrounding that and trying to figure out what was there, Ghost Loop. Can you tell us a little bit about how you became a part of that show and just for the audience, what the show was about and what it was like for you working on it?
Yeah, so Ghost Loop was a really unique opportunity. It kind of randomly fell into my lap. One of the people that worked on the show found me on Instagram, which she found all of us on Instagram just through social media and our experiences that we were posting. At the time, I think I had only just started my YouTube channel. just a few months prior. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if she found me through YouTube. I think she found me just through Instagram. But Ghost Loop stood apart from the other paranormal TV shows because we included and really focused on a hardcore trigger environment to just kind of bring ourselves back in time to what had actually happened in the home. So we would focus on the traumatic events that took place that ultimately had led to the hauntings. So that was a big part mm-hmm. of our show. You know, our team of people go in, recreate the crime scene or the event that took place, and we would just focus a lot of our energy on there. And through that, we got so much compelling paranormal activity. And a lot of people ask, like, it's a TV show. Like, is it real? Like, is this stuff happening that's real? And it was so real. Like, everything that we experienced, while yes, it's TV, and while yes, we had a production team and cameras in our face all day long for a week straight filming just one episode, every experience that we had while filming Ghost Loop was so real and so intense. And it was one of the most intense time periods of my life.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it's so different doing investigations, but especially when you're on a fast timeline like that. What was the coolest case you did while on Ghost Loop, or your most memorable experience that happened while investigating?
On Ghost Loop. So I have to say they were all so crazy in their own way. They were all so unique, but we dealt with a demonic case actually in Utah, which was really heart-wrenching because I sat with the mom and interviewed her while she just cried and had a breakdown essentially from what her and her family had been experiencing. You know, the son was harming himself and it was starting to get really scary. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's a huge concern for that. So that's where we came in. In that episode, this is the craziest thing that happened. One of the other cast members, who was one of my best friends, was, I believe, affected by the energy there. He ended up being sent to the hospital, and it was just one of the craziest experiences ever in the paranormal for me. You know, messing with the unknown, the spirit realm, can be very dangerous, and you really saw that on that episode.
Absolutely. You know, when you're investigating the paranormal, you never know what you're walking into. Is there something you do before, during, or after an investigation as means of protection?
That's a really good question. So all of us have a different way of grounding ourselves. You know, there's people that find a lot of comfort in religion, and then there's me who finds a lot of comfort in spirituality, which what I do is kind of just like a small meditation session, and I need to be outside. So the way that I ground myself and protect myself is I'm reaching out to my angels, my guides. I have to stand outside and be surrounded by the earth, and that's what helps me go into every case with confidence and protection.
Definitely, especially when you're working on hard cases like the one you described on Ghost Loop. I can't even imagine what that was like for you. Were there any cases that you felt needed revisiting while on the show?
Yeah, so that case in particular, Caliph, who is the one that ultimately got sent to the hospital that one of those mm-hmm. nights, he stayed in touch with the family. And he was working very closely with the son because he had a lot in common with the son. And I feel like if he hadn't kept in touch and followed up, things could have, you know, went backwards again. Things probably would have gotten really bad again. So I think it was really great that Caliph stepped up and kept in touch with the families that family. I also kept in touch with a few of the families as well. Small follow-ups. I never went back there, but I still do keep in touch with almost everyone that we worked with.
Well, that's great, you know, that you're able to keep in touch with them. And I'm sure it's very reassuring for the families too, knowing that you're still there. I lived in a haunted house, and it's a very traumatic experience. And knowing that there's someone there you can talk to that understands you is really comforting to know that you don't feel so alone.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think that is exactly how they felt, because going back to what I said before, a lot of times people have to suppress their experiences because they're told that they're crazy, mm-hmm. or, you know, they're bullied about it as a child. So I think it was really reassuring for the people that we worked with. Absolutely.
For sure. And what advice would you give to family members currently involved in a home haunting issue? Just like, you know, how should they go about dealing with it? And what advice would you have for them on a personal level?
So definitely reaching out for guidance and support, because spirits were once human too, unless of course you're dealing with something demonic or inhuman. But a lot of times, I'd say the majority of the time, 90% of the time, it was a human spirit. So you want to treat with respect, right? You don't want to, you just don't want to create more problems for yourself. So I know that it's really scary. And I lived in a haunted house as well growing up, and I had some pretty crazy experiences that scared me. But you definitely want to take the right approach with it. So reaching out for guidance and support as to how to handle it is definitely best, because you don't want to irritate what's there, I guess, because I've been in that situation, and I feel like I have done that in the past, and it's made things a lot worse. So that's the best advice I can give, is just reaching out for guidance and support as to what to do next.
For sure. Yeah, it's weird living in a haunted house, because you can't escape it. And I think that's a things that a lot of people don't understand, is like when you're investigating, you can go home and leave it typically. But if you live in a haunted house, I mean, there's really nowhere for you to go.
Exactly. And sometimes they will follow you because they are attracted to you or attached to you. So that's also something that a lot of people don't realize as well. They might want to move out of their house. That's probably the first idea that everybody has when living in a haunted house. But just to go back, the Utah case, they moved 3 times, and each time their house was haunted by the exact entity. So just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's so different, but it's great you were able to help them. And besides your time on Ghost Loop, you are also a very busy person. You are a YouTuber. Can you tell us a little bit about your channel and what initially gave you the idea to start it?
Yeah, so one of my best friends encouraged me to start YouTube, because I was pretty much traveling and just investigating haunted places and urban exploring, and that was my passion. So he inspired and encouraged me to finally just, you know, go out and film and get content up. This was about 2 years ago now. And I pretty much go around, I travel all around the country investigating haunted places. So let's say like a haunted road, like I'll go anywhere, haunted jail, a haunted road, people's haunted homes, you name it. Like I will go and investigate and film and spend the night. One of the most compelling pieces I've ever caught probably on my YouTube channel was from the Real Conjuring House in Rhode Island with my buddy Colin. And it was such a wild night. That was only a few months ago, but what a dream come true to be able to go and film and spend the night in the Real Conjuring House. So I do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's such a cool experience to have. What did you guys capture that night?
So there is a room, there's the upstairs middle room that people find themselves feeling disoriented in, and probably around like 5 a.m., my friend ended up passing out in the room. He got really dizzy and disoriented. I caught the whole thing on camera. We were in the middle of our investigation, and he dropped his really expensive camera and light, like it all fell on the floor and just crashed, and he passed out. And that's apparently what happens to people in that room. So it was really scary, really, really concerned about his well-being. He's okay, luckily, like, thank God. But yeah, that was really scary.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what that was like for you to see him have that happen and for him to experience that. That's such a crazy experience. I haven't had that happen on an investigation. I can't say I would really want to either.
Right. Yeah. You know, you never know what you're getting yourself into. You could be investigating and doing this for years, but there's always a risk when going into extremely haunted places.
For sure. And I know recently you also filmed a video with rapper Lil Xan. Can you tell us a little bit about that video and how you guys initially connected?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So random. So actually the night of the Queen Mary, that was that night.
Mm-hmm.
It was so late and I was so tired, but Colin, who, you know, he connected us, you know, he met him through, I believe, music. Colin also does music, and he just randomly hit Lil Xan up and told him he was in California for the night, and Lil Xan wanted to come out and investigate something. So we brought him to the Devil's Gate, which was probably about an hour away from the Queen Mary. And yeah, it was really cool. You know, he has this character that he plays on camera, but off camera, I wouldn't say he's a different person. His character is awesome on camera, but off camera, like, I was really surprised. He had a lot of like really good questions and he was so into it. And I wasn't expecting that from him, just, you know, based on the character that I've seen him in, essentially, like with his music and on TV and whatnot. But yeah, he was like so into it. It was so cool.
Yeah, I remember you guys talking about that when we were leaving, and I was like, wow, this is really late. You guys have way more energy than me. And Susan was like, oh yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I barely had energy, but I was like, I can't miss meeting Lil Xan. This is so cool.
Yeah, that's such a cool experience.
Yeah, Colin was like, you are coming with me. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, he has, like, a lot of energy. I'm an investigator, but I also, like, sleep, so it's kind of contradictory.
Yeah, definitely. Same here.
So if you could investigate anywhere in the world on your YouTube channel or on a TV show, where would you like to go?
Oh, my gosh. I would like to go to so many places. Specifically, I would say what I've had my eye on would be the island of Paviglia, Death Island in Italy. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm saying that right. I don't know. I have such a fascination with things that are off limits. So it's, like, pretty illegal to go there. And I feel like people have gone there under very special circumstances. And I would love to go someplace like that where it's kind of like forbidden, where there's just been so much tragedy and death, and just really go and feel the energy. I'm very drawn to that place, like, since I was little. I don't know why, I just have had this like obsession with wanting to go there.
Yeah, that place looks awesome. I would love to go there someday. I think, you know, kind of the coolest part too is that it's a little island, so it's just kind of like off the beaten path, and it's different from a lot of other locations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that tapping into the energy there would be vastly different from what I'm used to experiencing in people's haunted homes and, you know, a haunted road. Definitely would be so different.
For sure. And I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And, yeah, our guest today, we welcome Travel Channel's Ghost Loop Paranormal Investigator, Empath, and YouTube TikTok sensation, Chris Starr. So everyone visit on Twitter and TikTok. It's Chris Starr. Star in YouTube search too for our videos, Chris Starr in the search on YouTube. And actually, ironically enough, Dakota Layden was on the program promoting Destination Fear 2 weeks ago, and he too mentioned that Paviglia would be his dream location as well. Again, the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Feel free to call in 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. And everyone in the chat room, too, if you have any questions separate from the chat, make sure that they're all caps so we can distinguish your questions for our guests, too, as well in the chat room. We can select those, and I can get those directly over to Sophia. And we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the Most Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files. And you're listening to Ghost Coast Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
Poor Dave left out as a soundbite. And, okay, we're back and finally got everybody unmuted. So, Chris, you're back on with Sophia.
Thank you again so much for coming on today.
Yeah, of course. This has been so awesome. Thank you, guys.
Well, since we're back, I know recently you posted that a fan sent you a haunted object. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the haunted items that you've acquired over time? And what's it like for you actually owning a haunted object?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I have a lot to say about this. I'm going to try to keep it short. So a few months ago, I told my subscribers that if they have anything haunted that they would like investigated or want questions answered to, they could send it to my P.O. box. You know, I'm not going to say I regret it, but as of last night, craziest stuff has started to happen. Okay, so someone sent me this like crazy, creepy clown. It actually scratched my friend when she was visiting from Cali. So that was really scary.
Oh my God.
We caught that on my video, like in the moment, like as it was happening. That's on my YouTube channel. And this past week, as soon as I got back from California, I was away for like 2 months. I went to my P.O. box and I had this huge box and I opened it and there was 4 haunted dolls in it. 4. They all had a story. So I bring the doll home and same exact day I go to put up my Christmas tree. This is a brand new Christmas tree. Like there's no reason why it should be broke. Half the tree is broke. And I think nothing of it, right? I'm like, okay, maybe the lights go out. But over the next 2 days, things just start to happen. Like everything in my house just seems to like start breaking. Things aren't working properly. And then last night, 2 nights after I bring the doll into my house, my computer randomly fell off the couch while I was in the kitchen, my brand new MacBook Pro that I use for work and editing, and it's completely broken and I lost everything on it. Still have no idea how it fell off the couch. My cats were actually in the kitchen with me, so there is like no way it could have been them. So I'm not going to go ahead say like it's 100% these haunted items, but I do believe that they could have something to do with my string of bad luck and unfortunate events for sure.
Wow, that's pretty intense. Do you have a feeling of which haunted items specifically may be causing this, or do you think it's just like a combination of all of them?
Definitely a combination, but the clown, I feel like, has been causing issues since day one. He came with me on my RV trip. I drove my RV across the country, had quite an experience with him. Every night there would be scratching coming from inside of the cabinet where he was staying. So, and it would wake
That's
me
really
up.
Creepy.
Up, It is so creepy. And I ended up just taking him out of the cabinet and placing him on like a shelf because I just was so bothered. I was like just waking up every 5 minutes from it. And when I drove back, because I drove again from Cali back to Jersey last week, I shipped him back. I was like, you are not coming on this road trip with me. Like, there is no way.
Yeah, that's really creepy. That's weird. So what are some of the backstories between, you know, the object like the clown? Because that's just really strange for all of that to happen. I can't even imagine what that's like, hearing a clown scratching from inside a cabinet.
Yes, so he came from one of my, this one came from one of my subscribers, and I don't remember if he had a story or if he knew for sure what is attached to him, but based on what happened to my friend with the scratches, there was like three tiny scratch marks on her knee, and the clown had been sitting like on her leg where the, and she like lifted it up and there was like these three tiny scratches. I don't know if it is a human spirit. Like I, you know, it might be something inhuman. Everyone that has come in contact with it has gotten a really bad feeling, and I don't even have to tell them anything about it. You know, it's not like that he looks like super creepy. So I think it's just the feeling that people are getting from him. I also have my haunted Jack in the Box, which is on my TikTok a lot. And a lot of people really love Jack. That's his name. He is a very friendly spirit. I believe he does like to protect me. And he was gifted to me by my friend Chris, Paranormal Descendants, on YouTube. She also collects haunted items, which she has so many. Her house is like an antique shop. But she found Jack in an abandoned insane asylum, well, her friend did, about 20 years ago, and he was the only intact item still left. Yeah, and, like, nothing was left but Jack. So her friend took him, obviously, because he didn't want anything bad to happen to him. He is an antique, honestly. He's beautiful. He's in amazing condition. And the first night that I brought him home, I was taking a thumbnail photo for my YouTube video because I had just gotten done investigating with Jack. And I caught a man's face in the hallway of my house, clear as day. Like, you can't miss it. Like, you see his full face. There's not one person that's looked at that photo and was like, this is not a face. Like, it's so clear. So these haunted items, I can confirm, are definitely haunted.
Well, that's pretty cool that you caught a face while trying to take a thumbnail photo. But with all the experience you have in the field, why do you think that spirits, human or not, want to attach themselves to items?
You know, that's a really good question. And I don't know if we will ever quite know. I feel like they're just looking for a vessel to feel human again. Maybe it's as simple as that. You know, everybody probably has a different theory as to why, but maybe it's as simple as wanting to feel human or intact again. You know, they want a physical form again.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you kind of think that the afterlife is? What do you think causes ghosts and paranormal activity?
Yeah, so, you know, that's the big question of life, and it's probably the most fascinating aspect about life. I've been obsessed with wanting to know that since I was a child. You know, people think that ghosts are stuck and they're unhappy and that's why they're here. And, you know, maybe a lot of them did experience a very tragic death and they're not, or they're unable to pass on. But I do believe that they can kind of come and go into our dimension. And that's why we see them sometimes and that's why we don't. I do believe that a lot of them are kind of stuck here, but I've had experiences where I know that people don't need to be stuck here in Earthbound. And I believe they have kind of crossed over, but they still come back and they revisit loved ones. And I've had that happen to me. So I think it's a few different reasons as to why they're still here or they come in.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I always say we won't fully know till we get there, but it's really interesting to hear other people's, you know, kind of ideas on what it could be and just trying to piece together stuff while we're still on Earth.
Yeah, exactly.
So with all the investigations you've done, I know you were telling us about the creepy experiences you had with haunted objects. What has been the coolest or scariest experience that you've had in all your time investigating?
Well, I would say anytime I catch something that I can physically see or hear, like that picture of the ghost man in my house. But I had such an incredible experience at the Ferry Plantation House in Virginia Beach. If anybody lives down there or is looking for a really an amazing investigation, they do nighttime tours and investigations. I didn't get to go at night. This was during the day, but it was around Christmas time last year, actually. And nobody was in the house except for me and my friend Omar. We caught this on video. Mm-hmm. He was upstairs, I was downstairs, and I heard a little girl singing Jingle Bells, like with my ears, and I caught it on camera. And that is actually my top video on my YouTube channel. Like, once you go to my channel, you'll see that video right at the top, because so many people wanted to hear this little girl sing. Like, I literally titled it, like, Little Girl Caught Singing on Camera. And that was probably the craziest, most memorable paranormal experience I've ever had.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Speaking of little girl ghosts, I know we weren't able to go into the pool area on the Queen Mary, but have you ever been in there, and have you ever had any experiences with Jackie in the pool area?
So I wasn't able to go into the pool area when I've been there in the past. I have seen or I've heard what sounded like a little girl in the pool area, but they're not sure if that's Jackie or not. I've personally not had any experiences with Jackie, although I would love to.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know sometimes she can actually be caught singing in there. Usually London Bridge is falling down. So it's always, you know, really weird to see what people capture in there. It's amazing when you can hear things like singing on evidence, because it's not necessarily what you would expect on an investigation, but, you know, it's a ghost. They do what humans would do.
Exactly. Yeah, it's always so cool when you're able to get evidence that isn't from a spirit box or a piece of equipment. So one of my favorite things to do is just go in with my camera and just sit and listen. And a lot of times you will, you know, pick up on things. A lot of people think they need fancy equipment. And honestly, I use like one or two things in almost every single video. And sometimes I don't use any equipment, because if you go to a haunted place, energy is going to show itself and you will experience things with or without equipment.
Absolutely. I think that's the really interesting thing about investigating too, is you can literally have no piece of equipment and capture stuff, or you could have all of it and capture nothing. But it's just so, it's so different every time. You can go to the same location like 10 days in a row and never have the same experience.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the paranormal, who have you looked up to the most within the field?
So that's a good question. To be honest with you, I don't, I didn't really watch a lot of ghost shows growing up. The one that I really, I spent a lot of time watching as a child was Ghost Hunters. And I had my uncle who was investigating throughout my entire life. So I really looked up to him. But yeah, you know, even till this day, like I don't watch a lot of paranormal shows on TV. Not for any particular reason. I just haven't since I was probably like a teenager. But yeah, I'd say like the guys in Ghost Hunters, like when I was little, I think they're the ones that inspired me to want to have my own paranormal TV show. And I ended up having that opportunity, which I still think is really crazy. Little girl me is like, wow, like you made that happen, you know?
Yeah. And what advice would you give to people wanting to start out in the field?
I would say, you know, just you don't need a lot of fancy equipment. You really don't need anything at all. If you have a haunted location, if you're really, truly interested in experiencing the paranormal, you can go and experience the paranormal. Just put yourself in
the setting to experience that. You don't need the equipment. Just use yourself, use your senses, you know, really tune into what you're feeling and what you're hearing. I think, you know, going back to what I said before, people kind of get really hung up when they want to get into paranormal investigating and think that they need all of this equipment and they don't need it. So I just want people to realize that you don't need fancy equipment. Like, you have yourself and your senses. So just really tune into that.
Absolutely. It's just amazing how much you can capture just with your own senses. Like you said, when people meet your haunted doll, they already just get a weird feeling off of it. I think people don't realize like how in tune we are with stuff that we can't even necessarily see.
I believe that as well. You know, we have these really incredible experiences as children a lot of times. And the older we get, we kind of lose sight of our senses because we're told not to believe in the paranormal. This isn't real. So we let go of that. And as adults, I think that people forget that, like you said, they forget that we have these senses that are very powerful.
Yeah, when I lived in the haunted house, I couldn't necessarily see the ghost right away, but you just feel it. You can feel when someone's standing behind you. You can feel when someone's watching you. And it's the weirdest thing, because even if it's not a ghost, you can tell if someone's just standing over you or behind you. And I don't necessarily know how that works, but it's a real thing, a survival skill that humans just have throughout time.
Exactly. Yeah, there's all different ways of receiving information from the spirit realm. And some of my abilities are still kind of growing and I'm learning about them. Psychic feeling has always been part of my life, clairsentience, but clairaudience as well. In recent days, recently, I've been hearing things talk to me, which I never really had that experience before. So it's really crazy getting to experience a new way of receiving information from the spirit realm. It's a little scary sometimes.
For sure. And are you actively developing your gifts, or are you just kind of letting them develop on their own?
So for a long time, I was letting them develop on their own. Now I do some work to work on these abilities. I do have somebody who I consider a spiritual advisor who I work with quite frequently. Otherwise, it's kind of just things that I do at home myself to really hone in these abilities, to really just pull them in. So, yeah, a lot of times, you know, people don't realize that they have these abilities and they come naturally over time. But if you really want them to flourish and happen, the best way is to actively work on them.
Mm-hmm. And I know you said that you're starting to be able to hear ghosts more. But how did you initially start seeing ghosts? Were you able to kind of see shadow figures? Were you getting pictured images? How were you able to tell that you had this ability?
So it was psychic feeling for me. It was just the feeling. You know, I can really just express the emotion that I was feeling from the spirits, and I would find out that, wow, what I was feeling is what had happened in this house. And you know, just things when I was little in the house that I grew up in, you know, just really sensing a man's spirit. And I had no idea that he had cats, and I was sensing cats, you know, that had passed away in the house. And then, you know, my aunt would tell me, hey, you know, this old man, he died of whatever, and he had these cats. And that was kind of my first experience. And then over time, in more recent years, I started to hear things talking to me, and a lot of the times it happens in my sleep. So they wake me up a lot, and it's a little startling.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be really weird to have happen. Why do you think that when people have an ability that things usually come to them in their sleep?
So our sleeping state is where we are most vulnerable. So we lose our senses quite a bit, right? We're asleep. Mm-hmm. And this easier for them to communicate with us. And that has always been a way for spirits to communicate with me, was in my sleep since I was little. Probably the most experiences I've had was in my sleep. But I believe it's because we are our most vulnerable while we're sleeping.
Definitely. Any experiences I've had, like, I'm not psychic. I would say, like, I'm more sensitive. Like, I've had, like, weird dreams that have come true. And it's just, it's, like, the weirdest thing to experience because you, in that moment, sometimes you can't tell if it's a dream or if it's real until later on. And you're like, oh, hey, this is a lot different than I initially thought.
Yeah, exactly. I have had some crazy things happen to me while I was in my sleep. I had out-of-body experiences before. The sleep paralysis with certain spirits showing themselves to me, such as my Jack in the Box. He has shown himself to me now three times during sleep paralysis. And it's a little scary sometimes because you can't get out of it for a minute or two.
Yeah, that would be really scary if that had happened to me in my old house. Yeah, I don't know what I would have done. But I know we're coming towards the end of the show. So are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events that you would like to mention?
You know, I don't have anything planned. I will be going to Pennhurst with Jason from Ghost Hunters, actually. So that is next weekend. That's really the only thing coming up. That'll be on his YouTube channel. And then, yeah, I think that's it. Like, I don't really have anything planned just yet, just because of COVID, you know. I will be probably traveling back to California doing my usual YouTube videos. So definitely stay tuned for a bunch of content coming at you. As soon as my computer's fixed, I have a bunch of videos coming up. Specifically, something that I've been looking forward to the most is Kurt Cobain's abandoned Hollywood Hills home that I found and was able to investigate. So.
Wow.
Well, that's awesome. Hopefully your computer gets fixed fast, and hopefully also the haunted objects aren't causing any more problems. But I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Chris. It's been great talking to you. And if you're ever in California, let me know. It'd be great to see you again and get to hang out.
Yeah, for sure. I will definitely let you know. Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Well, thank you. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Take care, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Have a great one. Thanks. Wow. Fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Chris was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week.
Yeah, and I want to remind everybody, too, Chris Starr, just in contact, too, on Twitter and TikTok. It's at It's Chris Starr, so it's at It's Chris Starr, and YouTube search, of course, Chris Starr, and I saw that, too. She had the Jack in the Box video posted there, too, as well. That would be creepy. It's the Ghost Host Show, Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, Travel Channel's Kindred Spirits cast, Amy Bruni, Adam Berry, and Chip Coffee will be on this program on the day of the premiere of the season, the next season of Kindred Spirits. So that's going to be January 2nd, the first show of 2021. So tune in for that. Also, as well, pretty effing spooky YouTube and TikTok sensation Amanda Paulson will be speaking regarding ghosts on this program on the 9th of January. And also, too, as well, intuitive medium researcher, pet spirit grieving author Rob Gutro will be talking about his new book release. That'll be on the 30th of January, too. We have other people securing their dates, so like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com to learn about the shows and the guests as we learn of them real time. And we'll see you next week. Let's see. Oh, actually, we have best of shows coming up too as well. And we'll see you when we return. And happy holidays, everybody. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And see you then.
Hi, this is Debbie and Sion Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.